Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Today, we're going to be looking at something a little maybe unexpected.
Oh.
Leadership wisdom from, get this, the Book of Proverbs.
Interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that as a go-to for, like, modern leadership advice.
Right. But we're specifically looking at chapters 25 through 29. And we're going to be pulling from a lecture by this biblical scholar who has some really fascinating and honestly some pretty surprising takes on these ancient verses.
Okay. I'm intrigued. So what's the big takeaway? Why should our listeners care about this?
Because, believe it or not, these verses, they offer some real gems, some really practical advice that you can apply to modern life, like even outside of, you know, a religious context.
Okay, I'm starting to see where you're going with this. So
yeah.
How are we going to approach this deep dive?
Well, a lot of these proverbs, they use these vivid metaphors, right? And sometimes those metaphors, they can be a little tricky to decode.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to try to unpack those metaphors and see how they can apply to, you know, leadership, decision making, just navigating life in the 21st century. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Awesome. So let's jump right in with Proverbs 25.2728. Now, this one deals with, a pretty common pitfall for leaders, especially these days.
And that is
ambition.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Right. So the proverb says, "It is not good to eat much honey or to seek honor on top of honor. Like a city breached without walls is one who lacks self-control." Okay, so right off the bat, we got too much honey. What's the deal with that?
Well, it's kind of setting the stage, right? It's this idea that even good things, you know, even things that are sweet and enjoyable,
yeah,
you take them to excess, they can become harmful.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you can have too much of a good thing.
Exactly. And that's especially true when we're talking about ambition.
Okay, so that leads us to the next line. Seeking honor on top of honor. And that feels, well, it feels pretty relevant to, you know, pretty much everyone in a leadership position today.
Oh, absolutely. You see it everywhere. That constant need for validation. Like that hunger for more and more recognition, even when you've already achieved a lot.
Right. It's never enough.
And the scholar we're looking at, he argues that this kind of, you know, this unchecked ambition, it can make a leader ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even worse, it can make them manipulative.
Oh, yeah. I can see how that would happen.
Like, they get so focused on their own image, you know, their own accolades, that they lose sight of what truly matters.
It's like they're more concerned with appearances than actually getting things done.
Exactly. And that's where that last part of the proverb comes in. Like a city breached without walls is one who lacks self-control.
Okay, now that's an image. Like, I can picture that city just totally vulnerable to any threat that comes along.
Right. And the scholar, he connects that image directly to the leader who's, you know, consumed by ambition. They're so focused on getting more, more, more that they neglect their own, like, inner defenses.
So it's not just about being, like, greedy or power hungry. It's about lacking that that crucial inner strength.
Exactly. It's that self-control that allows you to stay grounded, to make wise choices, even when you're facing pressure or temptation.
Okay, so I'm following you. Ambition can be a dangerous thing, especially if it's not tempered by self-control.
Right, and that's where things get, even more interesting. Because the scholar, he goes on to connect this proverb to a Chinese proverb that emphasizes the invincibility of someone without desires.
Whoa. Okay, that's a whole different level.
Right, it's this idea that true strength comes from being content with what you have, not constantly chasing after more.
That's a pretty radical concept, especially in our culture, you know, where we're constantly bombarded with messages about achieving more, being more, having more.
It is. But it's also a really powerful idea. It challenges us to think about, like, what truly motivates us as leaders. Is it a genuine desire to serve others? Or is it that, you know, that insatiable hunger for more power, more recognition?
Man, that's a question we could all benefit from asking ourselves, you know, no matter what our position or title is.
Totally. This proverb, it's not just for CEOs or politicians. It applies to, you know, anyone who wants to make wise choices and live a fulfilling life.
All right. So we've tackled the dangers of excessive ambition. Ready to move on to another set of verses? This one offers a, well, let's just say a more unexpected leadership strategy.
Oh, I'm all ears.
All right. It's Proverbs 25.2122, and it deals with how to handle your enemies.
I think that should be good.
It starts like this. If your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them water to drink.
Wait, what? Seriously?
I know, right? Sounds a little counterintuitive, especially if we're talking about, like, leadership in a competitive business environment.
Totally. Isn't the usual advice to, Like crush your competition? Not feed them?
That's what I thought too, but there's definitely more to it than that.
So what's the scholar's take on this?
Well, he argues that this is actually a very shrewd, a very strategic way for leaders to deal with conflict.
Okay, I'm listening.
He points to the rest of the verse. It says, "For you will heap coals of fire on their heads, and the Lord will reward you." And it's all about understanding what that heaping coals of fire actually means.
Okay, yeah, because on the surface, that sounds pretty... pretty aggressive, like almost a threat.
Right. But the scholar suggests it's not about like literal fire or revenge.
So what is it about then?
It's a metaphor for using kindness strategically.
Strategically.
Yeah. Like in a way that might actually shame your opponent and maybe even turn them into an ally.
So it's like you're outsmarting them with kindness.
Exactly. You're showing them up with generosity.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's like instead of meeting conflict with more conflict, you know, adding fuel to the fire, you're doing something totally unexpected, something that can actually de-escalate the situation.
Yeah, I can see how that would be disarming.
Right. And, you know, it's making me think about how we often react to conflict. We just like instinctively want to fight back to defend ourselves. But maybe this proverb is suggesting a totally different approach, one that's actually more powerful in the long run.
It's a powerful concept, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, you know, winning a battle. It's about becoming a better leader, a better person through this this act of radical generosity.
That's exactly what the scholar is saying. He points to that phrase, "The Lord will reward you." And he argues that it speaks to both practical success and personal growth.
I love that interpretation. It's like by choosing kindness, you're not only diffusing a conflict, you're also elevating yourself.
Right. It takes real strength and courage to lead with kindness, especially when you're dealing with someone who might be trying to undermine you.
It's not about being weak or a pushover. It's about choosing a different path, you know, one that might lead to a better outcome for everyone involved.
This is really making me rethink my own approach to conflict.
Me too.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Okay, we've covered two pretty fascinating proverbs so far. Ready to dive into the last one?
Absolutely. Hit me with it.
Okay, this one is Proverbs 25.2526, and it uses some pretty vivid imagery to talk about the importance of taking action when you see something wrong.
Okay, I'm ready. All right, lay it on me. What does this proverb say about taking action?
Well, it starts off with a really beautiful image, actually. Like, cold water to a thirsty soul so is good news from a far country.
Yeah, okay. I can see that it's like, you know, you can really feel that sense of relief when you're parched and suddenly there's cool water.
It's such a powerful image, right? Like that feeling of refreshment and almost like hope, you know?
Exactly. And the scholar points out that it's not just any good news. It's good news from a far country.
Oh, I see. So it's like unexpected good news, something that comes from outside your usual experience.
Right, exactly. It's like this unexpected gift, this breath of fresh air.
Okay, so that sets a pretty high bar for what comes next. And, well, the proverb definitely takes a sharp turn. It goes on to say, "Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain are the righteous who give way before the wicked."
Whoa, that's quite a contrast.
I know, right? It goes from this pure, life-giving water to something that's, you know, stagnant and contaminated. And that's where the scholar's interpretation gets really interesting. He's basically arguing that these verses are a direct challenge to the idea that being righteous means being passive.
Okay, so it's not enough to just be a good person in your heart. You have to actually do something about it.
Exactly. The scholar's saying that true righteousness, it requires action, especially when you see injustice or wickedness happening around you. Like giving in, staying silent, it's like you're polluting that spring, you know,
yeah,
that source of life. You're turning it into a source of harm. Man, it's really making me think about those times when, you know, I've seen something wrong, something that just didn't feel right, but I didn't speak up. Maybe because I didn't want to get involved or I didn't want to, you know, rock the boat or whatever. But now I'm wondering, like, did my inaction actually make things worse?
And that's the power of these proverbs, right?
Yeah.
They force us to confront our own responsibility. They make us ask ourselves those tough questions. When do we need to speak up, even if it's uncomfortable? What are the consequences of staying silent?
This is really hitting home for me. You know, at the beginning of this deep dive, I wasn't sure what to expect from these ancient proverbs, but honestly, they're so relevant to the challenges we face today. It's like they're giving us this whole new framework for thinking about leadership and ethical decision making.
I think that's a great point. These proverbs, they're not just, you know, dusty old sayings. They offer this timeless wisdom that we can apply to our modern lives. They challenge us to think differently, to act with more intention, more integrity.
Okay, so we've explored these three sets of verses from Proverbs. We've seen how they tackle the pitfalls of ambition, how they offer this surprising strategy for handling conflict, and how they challenge us to, you know, to stand up for what's right. If we had to distill all this down into like a few key takeaways, what would they be?
Well, I think the first takeaway is that kindness can be a powerful leadership tool. It's not about weakness. It's about strategic generosity. It's about using compassion to, you know, to disarm your opponents and potentially even win them over.
And the second takeaway?
Self-control. Okay. It's absolutely essential, especially for anyone in a position of power. Like that unchecked ambition, that constant need for validation, it can lead to some really bad decisions, and it can ultimately undermine a leader's effectiveness. It's about cultivating that inner strength, you know,
right,
to resist those temptations and stay focused on what truly matters.
And finally, true righteousness requires action.
Yeah, it's not enough to just have good intentions. We have this responsibility to, you know, to speak up against injustice, to protect the vulnerable, even when it's hard. Like, inaction, it can make us complicit in the problem.
That's a powerful reminder.
And I think it's important to remember that these are just, you know, three verses from a much larger collection of wisdom literature.
Yeah.
There's so much more to explore in the book of Proverbs.
Right. We've only just scratched the surface.
But even these three verses, they've given us so much to think about.
And you know, what makes this deep dive so exciting is that we're taking these ancient texts and we're finding new meaning in them, like new applications for them in our own lives. It's like a treasure hunt.
I love that analogy. We're uncovering these timeless gems of wisdom.
And the scholar's focus on metaphors has been so key to this whole process. It's like he's giving us this new language to understand these ancient truths, you know, making them come alive in a way that feels relevant and relatable.
Totally. Metaphors, they have this amazing ability to kind of bypass our rational defenses and speak directly to our hearts and minds. They help us connect with these ideas on a deeper level.
A level where real transformation can happen.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think the big takeaway here is that the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, it's not just for ancient kings or religious scholars.
It's for all of us.
It's a source of timeless guidance for anyone who wants to live a life of purpose and meaning.
And impact.
And even though we've only focused on these three sets of verses today, I feel like we've been given this like this whole new toolbox for navigating the complexities of life.
We've been challenged to, you know, rethink our assumptions about kindness, self-control, righteousness.
And to remember that true leadership, it's not about power or position.
It's about serving others and making a positive difference in the world.
So to wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with this final thought. The book of Proverbs, it's full of wisdom just waiting to be discovered. So I encourage you to, you know, to take these Proverbs to heart, explore them, wrestle with them, see how they resonate with your own experiences. And remember, we've only just dipped our toes into this vast ocean of wisdom.
There are countless treasures waiting to be discovered.
Keep digging, keep exploring, and who knows what insights you might uncover along the way.
Yeah, and, you know, what I find so fascinating is how, like, these Proverbs, they're rooted in these ancient traditions. But the insights they offer, they feel so relevant today. Like, they speak to the challenges we face, you know, in our workplaces, our relationships, even just navigating our own internal struggles. It's true. The book of Proverbs, it's not just some, you know, historical artifact. It's a living source of wisdom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It speaks to, like, the human condition across cultures and time periods. It's like a mirror, almost, reflecting back to us our own strengths and weaknesses, and kind of urging us to, you know, strive for greater self-awareness, to keep growing.
And the scholar we've been talking about, he really emphasizes that point. He sees these Proverbs not as like rigid rules, but as invitations, you know, invitations to reflect, to question our assumptions, to keep growing as individuals.
Oh, absolutely. He actually ends his lecture with a challenge to his listeners, a question that I think we can all benefit from asking ourselves.
Oh, that's the question.
He asks, what are the areas in your life where you need more self-control?
That's a powerful question. And it's so relevant to everything we've been talking about, right? Whether it's, you know, the pitfalls of unchecked ambition, the need to handle conflict with wisdom and grace, or the courage to stand up for what's right. It all comes back to that core concept of, you know, self-mastery.
Right. Because self-control, it's not just about, you know, resisting temptation in the moment. It's about cultivating the discipline to make choices that that align with our values, even when those choices are hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about like becoming the best versions of ourselves, both as, you know, as leaders and as human beings.
And what's cool is like these proverbs, they give us a framework, you know, they give us a language to think about these concepts in a new way.
It's like they're giving us this practical guidance that we can apply to our everyday lives, no matter what our background is or our beliefs.
It's like they're giving us a map to navigate the complexities of life,
yeah.
Like a compass to point us in the right direction when we feel lost or uncertain.
So to our listeners, I really encourage you, take these proverbs to heart, explore them, wrestle with them. You know, see how they resonate with your own experiences.
And remember, we've only just dipped our toes into this vast ocean of wisdom that is the Book of Proverbs.
There are so many treasures waiting to be discovered.
So keep digging, keep exploring, and who knows, you might be surprised by what you find.
And on that note, that's our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.